The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And now, without further ado, let's begin.
The smell of fir trees filled my nose as I laced up my boots in the gravel parking lot. It had been too long since my last backpacking trip into the mountains. Checking my watch, I saw it was just past 10 a.m., right on schedule. I did a final check of my gear before hoisting my crammed backpack onto my shoulders. Tent, sleeping bag, jet boil, food, first aid kit, everything accounted for. This was my first time hiking in the Pacific Northwest, but I felt ready for the challenge. As I started along the trail, the morning sun filtered down through the tall pines. It was midweek, so the path was mostly deserted. Perfect. I had the woods all to myself. Growing up in the suburbs, I'd always felt a deep longing for wilderness. Now 30 years old, I relished any chance to disappear into the remote backcountry, away from cell service and people. It was just me and the trees. The trail began wide and well-groomed, then gradually narrowed. An hour in, and I was completely alone, surrounded by an ancient forest. Ferns unfurled along the path, interrupted occasionally by splashing creeks. My plan was to hike 8 miles today up to Surprise Lake. I'd make camp there for the night before continuing on to explore the alpine lakes and ridges higher up. My buddy Mark was supposed to join but bailed last minute for work. I decided to brave the solo trip regardless. As a web developer, my life was consumed by screens and tight deadlines. Lately, I'd been feeling more burned out than ever. I hoped a few days offline in nature would help me reset. I paused to sip some water and consult my map. The right fork would take me up to Surprise Lake. Glancing at the position of the sun, I judged it was around noon, making good time. The trail began to climb more steeply now, switchbacking up the mountainside. Tree roots traversed the path like woody tentacles. My heart pumped hard, and my breath came fast. I embraced the ache in my muscles. It had been too long since I really tested my stamina and grit. Out here, stripped of distractions, I could challenge myself. At a clearing, I stopped again to appreciate the view. A hawk circled lazily on an updraft, surveying its domain. Across the valley, ridges faded into a blue silhouette. Clouds cast drifting shadows on the treetops far below. After a snack and some water, I continued on, invigorated. The path tunneled through sections of old burnt forest, with brushy undergrowth taking over. Charred snags loomed like giant spears. The land flattened out again into a high alpine meadow. Grass rippled in waves, reminding me of ocean surf. As the trees thinned, vast mountain vistas emerged on all sides. Finally, I arrived at the bright blue gem of Surprise Lake. Snow dusted the rocky crags looming above. I located a secluded campsite along the shore and shrugged off my pack gratefully. As evening shadows stretched across the water, I pumped filtration tablets into my bottle. Nothing beats natural glacier water after a long day of hiking. I stood sipping it slowly, watching the colors shift, fade, and deepen. When darkness fell, I boiled up some rice and beans on my little backpacking stove. As I ate, the moon rose, dappling the lake silver. The night was so silent, I could hear my own heartbeat. Warm in my sleeping bag, I drifted off content. Out here, rather than feeling small and insignificant, I felt part of something timeless and grand. I still had a long hike ahead, but I was ready. I awoke to golden light filtering through my tent walls. Consulting my watch, I saw it was just past 6 a.m. The birds were already chorusing outside, welcoming the day. I lingered in my sleeping bag, warm and content despite the hard ground. Eventually, I motivated myself to emerge. The morning air bit my cheeks as I fired up my camp stove to boil water. I prepared some instant oatmeal and coffee while watching the mist rise off the lake. After breakfast, I spent some time tending to camp chores. I refilled my water bottles from the lake using my filter pump to remove any organisms. Glacier melt water carried risks like Giardia without purification. Next, I dug a small toilet hole with my trowel away from water sources as recommended, leaving no trace was important, even in
the future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
In the wilderness. Once finished, I carefully buried any evidence. With camp duties complete, I turned my attention to packing for the day's hike. I consolidated things I wouldn't need, like my tent and extra clothes, into the bottom of my pack. Items I wanted quick access to went into my outer pockets and my hip belt. For snacks, I packed granola bars, trail mix, and dried fruit to fuel me throughout the day. Double-checking my map, I made sure my route was committed to memory. I also placed my satellite communicator and power brick in an easy-to-reach spot. Once satisfied, I had everything. I hoisted on the slightly lighter pack and hit the trail. I plan to hike about 6 miles into a high alpine basin dotted with lakes today. My map showed several side trails and peaks to explore along the way. The crisp morning air filled my lungs with vigor as I hiked up through meadows still coated in frost. The rising sun casts golden light on the mountain ridges all around. I felt lucky to be out here witnessing such beauty. After about an hour, the trail forked. My original plan was to go right toward the alpine basin, but a small trail marker pointed left toward an old fire lookout tower. Changing plans, I decided to check out the lookout first before looping around. The narrow trail switched back steeply uphill toward the rocky outcrop where the lookout was perched. Though I still had plenty of energy, I made sure to pause and sip water frequently. The thin air at this altitude could rapidly dehydrate hikers. At last, I crested the ridge. The lookout tower stood on a stone base, its glass observation windows glinting. Unfortunately, those windows were all smashed, making the tower unusable. Graffiti covered the walls. Still, the 360-degree views from up here were incredible. I sat on a boulder, snacking and enjoying the panorama. Across the valley, glacier-draped peaks rippled to the horizon. Hawks circled silently over the forests far below. The majestic landscape reminded me how small, yet connected, I was. After a good rest, I continued toward the alpine basin. The trail descended steeply, then leveled out again into rolling meadows blanketed in wildflowers. Bees and butterflies bobbed through the colorful blooms. Reaching the edge of the first sapphire lake, I stopped to filter some water. The wind rippled the surface as I filled my bottles. I added purification tablets and then dropped them in an electrolyte tab for some flavor. Hydration was critical up here. Crossing a short isthmus, I arrived at the second lake. An abandoned rowboat lay half-beached on the rocks. My energy was starting to flag, so I found a sunny boulder to stop on for lunch. As I fueled up on jerky, nuts, and dried apples, I studied my map again. I could either keep pushing higher up the basin or start looping back. Checking my watch, I was surprised to see it was nearly 3 p.m. already. Where had the day gone? As much as I wanted to keep exploring upward, wisdom said it was time to turn around. With daylight fading, I didn't want to get caught in unknown terrain after dark. I soaked in a last panoramic view before packing up to head back. even though this trip was solo, I felt gratified rather than lonely out here. The mountains had been excellent, non-judgmental company. Already, I looked forward to my next visit. As I hiked back, shadows gradually lengthened across the alpine meadows. The sun sank toward the jagged peaks in the west, washing the landscape in golden light. I moved swiftly but steadily, not wanting to twist an ankle this far from help. Soon the trail descended back into thick evergreen forest. The woods were eerily silent, no birds or squirrels chattering, only the sound of pine needles crunching under my boots. About an hour into the descent, I heard it, a high-pitched giggle from somewhere behind me. I spun around, peering between the trees. No one was there. The sound raised goosebumps on my arms. Uneasy, I continued hiking, moving faster now. The trail dove through sections of old fire-scarred forest. Burnt snags stood like giant spears among the pines. Twice more, I thought I heard the eerie giggle, closer each time. I glanced around nervously, but saw nothing. Probably just a bird, I told myself, but I wasn't fully convinced. When the laugh came again from almost directly overhead, I gasped and stumbled back. Squinting up into the branches, I desperately searched for the source. There, a shifting shape in the branches. As I stared, a face came into focus, mimicking my wide-eyed expression. My heart seized in my chest. This was no bird or trick of the light. The features continued morphing, precisely mirroring my movements. Adrenaline flooded my system. I staggered back, watching the thing shift in tandem. Fight or flight kicked in. I chose flight. Breaking into a panicked sprint, I raced headlong down the darkening trail. My feet pounded erratically as I wove between the trees. Risking a glance back, I saw a winged shadow swooping after me. The mimic stayed right on my heels, no matter how fast I ran or what twists I took. It herded me like prey down the narrow path. My mind reeled, unable to accept what was happening. Lungs burning, I pushed myself harder. Still, I could hear the mimic in the branches paralleling each turn. It seemed to be playing with me, letting the terror build. I spotted a break in the trees ahead, the steep ravine. Making a split decision, I feinted left, then hurled myself right over the edge. For a moment, I was airborne. Then I crashed and rolled down the slope, needles and stones biting my skin. I lay gasping at the ravine bottom, stunned but elated. I'd lost the mimic, or so I thought. Scanning upwards, I saw a winged shape drop silently over the rim. Scrambling up, I took off running again down the ravine, my leg throbbing. Stumbling over rocks and through grasping bushes, I desperately sought somewhere, anywhere, to hide. But the mimic was still up there. I could feel its hungry eyes on me. My only choice was to keep fleeing through the deepening twilight. The ravine seemed to stretch on endlessly before me. Behind, I could hear the mimic effortlessly keeping pace, waiting for me to finally tire out. But I couldn't give up. I pushed through the pain and exhaustion, fighting to stay ahead. My lungs burned and my legs screamed with each jagged step. Still, I ran on. My feet pounded the trail as I sprinted headlong through the trees. Low branches lashed my arms and sweat ran into my eyes, but I didn't slow down. The mimic pursued overhead, perfectly mirroring each twisting turn I took. Looking for any advantage, I abruptly spun around and doubled back the way I'd come. But the mimic instantly copied my reversal, not falling for my trick. It stayed right on my heels as I charged back up the trail. Changing directions again, I veered off toward a thicket of young pines. I crashed through the scratchy branches, hoping to lose my pursuer in the dense woods. Risking a glance up, I saw the winged shape swoop above, never losing sight of me. Starting to panic, I scrambled wildly between the trees with no clear direction in mind. I just wanted to put distance between myself and that thing mimicking my every move. My chest heaved, struggling to pull in enough air. Breaking back out onto the main trail, I resumed my headlong flight downward. The mimic continued flanking me from the branches above, herding me along the predetermined path. I was its prey, being toyed with. My mind reeled, unable to accept what was happening. This had to be some vivid nightmare or hallucination. But the burning in my legs and lungs felt terrifyingly real as I ran for my life. With no shelters or hiding spots in sight, all I could do was keep plunging blindly on. The trail stretched endless and empty before me. I tried trick after trick, doubling back, changing speeds, crashing into the underbrush. But the mimic was unfazed, perfect in its duplication of my every move. It felt like trying to evade my own shadow. The creature seemed to know these woods intimately, using the terrain to keep me boxed in. It was the patient cat just biding its time. But I couldn't give up. Terror lent my legs fresh strength as I fought on. My chest heaved in ragged gasps, struggling to pull in enough air. I tripped often now, clumsy with exhaustion. Each time I scrambled up and lunged forward again, the mimic hovering just out of reach, waiting for me to weaken further. Roots and stones threatened to turn my ankles. The mimic glided effortlessly behind me while I scrambled on all fours, sobbing from fatigue and fear. My legs trembled, ready to give out. Risking a glance back, I saw triumph in the mimic's swirling eyes. It could sense the end was near. Then my foot caught on a root and I went sprawling face first in the dirt. The mimic dropped to the trail, looming over me. This close, its flesh seemed to crawl and shift. A rank odor washed over me, making my stomach heave. Paralyzed by horror, I cowered as spindly fingers dug into my shoulders. Slowly, unable to resist, I lifted my gaze to the chaotic face. The features had stopped mimicking me, instead forming an expression of dark ecstasy. It had what it wanted, me, its prey, totally at its mercy. Frozen in terror, I could only watch as the mouth opened, far wider than any human mouth should stretch. Rows of jagged teeth glistened inside. The mimic's grip tightened, holding me in place as it prepared to feed. This was it. I was going to die alone in these godforsaken woods. Pure instinct kicked in. With a primal yell, I suddenly shoved upward with all my might, breaking the creature's grip. Caught off guard, the mimic recoiled just long enough for me to scramble free. I saw an opening between the trees and dove for it. Crashing through brush and saplings, I fought my way back off the trail, clawing forward on panic alone. Behind me came the sound of snapping branches as the mimic gave chase. My legs pumped and my lungs burned as I sprinted blindly into the depths of the forest. The close-pressed trees made running difficult, their limbs seeming to reach out and grab me like gnarled hands. Still, I could hear the mimic close behind, smashing heedlessly through obstacles. All my twisting and dodging couldn't shake it. Propelled by terror, I somehow found the energy to run even faster. The thing stayed right on me. Its eager breaths and deep vocalizations rang out just over my shoulder. Even with its awkward pace, it was steadily gaining ground. Up ahead, I glimpsed a break in the trees and made for it desperately. Bursting into a small clearing, I realized I was at the edge of a steep ravine. Far below, a river foamed between sheer rock walls. My pulse hammered as I raced for the ravine's edge. Behind me, the mimic chased mindlessly, too fixated to realize it was being led into a trap. My lungs burned, but I didn't slow down. This was my last chance. At the precipice, I veered sharply, skidding along the crumbling rim. Unable to check its momentum, the mimic kept coming straight at me. For a split second, we locked eyes, its alien features contorting in confusion and rage. Then it was over the edge, arms flailing uselessly at empty air. I watched as the creature tumbled soundlessly into the ravine, smashing into outcrops before crumpling small and still on the rocks far below. Gasping for breath, I collapsed onto my back. My mind reeled, struggling to grasp what had just happened. The forest was deathly quiet, save for the river's faint roar from the gorge. The mimic was gone. I was alive. Shuddering, I crawled away from the rim and slumped against a boulder. My adrenaline rush left me shaken and drenched in sour sweat. I focused on steadying my breathing as my heart gradually slowed at its frantic pace. The warmth of the sun filtering through the pines and the gentle breeze soothed my frayed nerves. But I remained wary, straining to hear any sounds of pursuit, over the pounding of blood in my ears. The woods appeared empty once more. After resting for what felt like an eternity, I finally mustered the courage to approach the ravine again. I crept carefully to peer over the edge, braced for the sight of the broken mimic below. Instead, I saw only cracked stone and weathered driftwood far down where the creature had fallen. No twisted body or smear of blood marked its passing. I blinked hard, wondering if exhaustion was playing tricks on my mind. But the gorge remained empty. Frowning, I followed the rim, searching the sheer walls and jumbled boulders for any sign of the mimic. Had it somehow survived and climbed out? But these cliffs looked impossible to scale. Where had it gone? That thing had pursued me relentlessly only minutes before. Shadows melted and morphed at the corners of my vision, forming nightmare shapes that were gone when I whipped my head around. My mind was playing tricks, I knew, still gripped by primal fear. I repeatedly thought I glimpsed darting movements between the trees, only to find nothing there when I forced my gaze to focus. Closing my eyes briefly, I took deep breaths, trying to steady my fraying nerves. I couldn't trust my senses anymore. All that mattered was escape. Reaching a fork in the trail, I hesitated, struggling to get my bearings. Each path looked much like the last. Unsure which way led out, I chose one at random and plunged onward. I refused to slow my pace even as the ground became rockier and less defined. The surrounding woods seemed to shift and resettle around me, erasing any landmarks I tried to memorize. I strained for any sound or smell of civilization, but found only silence. How long had I been staggering through this maze? Minutes bled into hours as I pushed ahead. My watch face was scratched and unusable, the hands frozen. Dread twisted my gut. Maybe I'd been going in circles all this time. I shook my head sharply, banishing those thoughts. I had to stay focused on putting one foot in front of the other. The parking lot couldn't be much farther. Once I reached my car, I'd be safe. I just had to keep going. Then, after what felt like an eternity, I spotted something through the trees up ahead. Moonlight glinting off metal and glass. Hope leaped in my chest. Breaking into a limping sprint, I crashed through the underbrush into the gravel parking lot. My Subaru sat waiting for me under the bright lights of the parking lot. Nearly sobbing with relief, I fumbled my keys out and yanked open the door. With trembling, I all but fell inside, pulling the door shut firmly behind me and engaging the locks. Only then did I finally dare to breathe deep, my twisting gut unwinding. I had made it out. I sat parked in the empty trailhead lot, struggling to slow my breathing and stamp down the panic still flooding my system. Gripping the steering wheel tightly, I focused on the feel of it under my hands, grounding myself in the present. I was safe now, I told myself. It was over. But my heart continued racing like I was still sprinting for my life through the woods. Closing my eyes, I could vividly see the mimic's face twisting in rage as it plunged over the ravine's edge. That image felt seared into my mind. Willing my trembling hands to be steady, I finally started the engine. The Subaru rumbled soothingly to life around me. Escape was close now. All I had to do was navigate these remote dirt access roads until I reached the highway. Twilight was rapidly fading to true darkness as I pulled out of the parking lot. The trees pressed in densely on either side, barely allowing a glimpse of the sky. I gripped the wheel tighter, eyes fixated forward. The twisting road tunneled endlessly through the forest with no signs or markers to gauge my progress. The shadows deepened, playing tricks on my frayed mind. Focus, I told myself. Just focus on moving ahead, 1 mile at a time. The blur of passing trees and the car's hypnotic motions lulled me briefly into a trance-like state. But the mimic's wild eyes and jagged grin lurked at the edge of my awareness, waiting to haunt me again. I shook myself sharply, scared of letting my guard down. How long had I been driving through the night-cloaked woods? My sense of time felt warped, minutes blurring into endless hours. Occasional moonlight through the branches provided my only clue that I was even still moving. Finally, miraculously, the road began to widen and straighten. Houses started appearing between the trees, then streetlights, then a gas station. I nearly wept at the sight of this rustic but undeniably civilized town. I was almost home. The empty highway opened before me. As I sped under familiar green interchanges, the vice around my chest finally loosened. But over the coming weeks, the peace I craved remained out of reach. At random moments, the memory would surface again. I'd relive each panicked breath, each pounding footstep in excruciating detail. Most nights, the mimic waited to greet me again in my dreams, perfectly mimicking my every move as I tried frantically to escape. I jolt awake, drenched in cold sweat, irrationally certain it had followed me out of the woods. The nightmares never fully faded. Some primal part of me was still back there, trapped in those woods. I doubted I'd ever be fully free of the mimic's haunting presence. Those woods had left their mark on me.
Thank you for joining us on this captivating journey. If you found this exploration as enthralling as we did, please like, share, and subscribe.